loving their money. And we had gone to California, and I was to board the ship in California. And I wasn't able, I could hardly talk, let alone sing. And there was a song that my brother-in-law, we went out to visit my, well, we saw my brother-in-law and sister-in-law out there. I don't know if you know that, but he draws the Dennis the Menace cartoon for the Sundays and for Hank Ketcham. And so Hank Ketcham was still alive at that day. And I remember going over to meet Hank Ketcham, and I was there hacking and coughing, half afraid to get near me. But this song was in my heart, and it was, I'm trying to think of it. Oh, blessed Savior, let me stay safe in your love. In perfect peace, let me abide, safe in your love. And the chorus was, even though the hosts of hell assail me, God has promised that he will never, ever fail me. O Rock of Ages, let me hide, safe in your love. And that song kept on ringing all through my heart that God was going to be with me no matter what. And I remember I boarded the ship and I still couldn't talk or sing, but for 3 days I didn't have to do any kind of a performance, and it wasn't until the fourth day, and some way, by the grace of God, I had prayed that my voice started to come back and I was able to get through that. But I don't know if you've ever had a song or something that has sustained you through a difficult time, but it sustained me through a difficult time. And I would like to take a song this day, which is a psalm, and speak to you about the beauty of this psalm that has encouraged me so many times, encouraged so many millions of people in the difficulties of their lives. And I'd like to start off, and it's going to be the 23rd psalm we're thinking about, but before we go into that, I'd like to read a couple passages where Christ compares himself to a shepherd. And in John 10, beginning of verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is saying this. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. I was not about myself fitting into that place. I'm not of the fold of Zion, of Israel, as Ken, but I'm of a new fold, the Gentiles. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again, Jesus said. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then in Luke, just a few verses, 15, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and after go at which is and seek that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons that need not repent. In these verses, as with all the verses in the Bible, we see the character of our Lord depicted and compared as a shepherd, and the character of a true shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep. Of course, you know, Christ is thinking about us when he's comparing us to sheep, and he, the good shepherd. And thinking of that this day, it's, again, this psalm has been a comfort to so many people. I can't tell you how many times I've had to preside over a funeral, and this psalm has been a comfort. But maybe sometimes we've glossed through this 23rd psalm as quickly as many people have glossed through the Lord's Prayer. We know it by heart, and so therefore we rattle it off without any consideration about the words and how deeply the truth of them is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful truth. And so I meditated upon that this week and found such solace and such joy and such consolation. Not that I'm in any deep distress, but it gives me joy in my heart to know that the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd this day? And I rejoice in that I have Jesus Christ as my shepherd. And I can thank God for the beauty that he has given me. When I think about him being my shepherd, it's not a man that is my shepherd. It's not the strongest man. It's not the best man. It's not Superman. It's Jesus Christ. There's no limitations in Jesus Christ. All things are his and all things belong to him, and he is my shepherd. He is the shepherd and bishop of my soul. He careth for me. Jesus is my shepherd, and I thank God for that. This beginning verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, contains like a basket all the beauties of the verses that follow. In fact, it contains all the truth that could be expressed as we think about God Almighty. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As Michael was leading in worship, he said, all that our trust would rise and that we would trust in God more and more each day. And this beginning verse says all that. And I want you to know that not only is the Lord my shepherd, but he is your shepherd. Amen? He is your shepherd. It is Christ Almighty, the creator of the world, of all the universe, as we study today in Sunday school. Jesus Christ, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. That is the one who is the shepherd of your soul. That is the one who cares for you. It is Jesus Christ, not a man. The creator of heaven and earth. That is beyond comprehension when I think of that. Because he is God, he knows all. He can do all. He's in all places, and there's not a situation in your life right now or any other time in the future that God doesn't know about and hasn't known about and will not know about. He knows all things. Will you say amen to that? That is who I want to present to you today, the shepherd and bishop of your souls, that you can trust in him. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the Lord our God. Thank God we have God to trust in. We've got to get this in our minds and the joy of that and the comfort of that and the solace of that, the beauty of knowing that it is God Almighty that is the shepherd. In this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, David says. I don't know what place David was in his life at this time, but you know, David had some difficulties in his life. I often think about this as being maybe at the end of his life, when he's reviewed everything that has happened, and he said, still, the Lord has been my shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. Thank God for that. He is my shepherd. I'm not going to moan about the circumstances in my life, because I know that God knows. He has it in his hands. He's like the good shepherd. The good shepherd that left the 99 and went into the wilderness to find the one. I'm the one. You're the one. He went to seek and save that which was lost. And he brought us into his fold. And there the perfect, good, all-sufficient shepherd watches for us at all times and in every way. We need to have this paramount in our minds, that it is Christ who is the shepherd of our souls. And God has you in his hands, and he will supply. The Bible said he will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, not just financially, but physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. 2 Timothy 1:3 said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. He supplies all things that pertain to life and to godliness. I love the scripture that Elvira loves so much. She said, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I wait on my shepherd to lead me and to guide me. It is because Christ is my shepherd that I shall not want. I shall not want for any good thing. He supplies everything I need. And it's not just he supplies material things in this world. He supplies eternal life to me. And he gave it to me by dying on the cross of Calvary. That's the Savior we have. That good and perfect and loving and merciful and gracious Savior that has given all things to you. And it's almost embarrassing at times when I see people falter and doubt in their faith or in their stand for God or in their allegiance or in their zeal, because we are serving God Almighty. It is God who we are serving, God who has given us all things. And what a joy to know, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want any good thing. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Bible said that he will give all things, and I should ask and receive, and God puts within my heart the desire to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. I want to know Christ. That is the good thing that he could, that's the best thing that he could possibly give to us, to know him and to love him and be thankful to him and appreciate all that he has done in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to say that 1,000 times. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Isn't that, that feels great to say? The Lord is my shepherd. He watches over me, and I shall never want. I will not be in want, and I don't want anything but what the Lord will give me. That's the essence of that. I shall not be in want because he supplies all my need. And I thank God for that blessing that he has given me. And now he starts to just unfold the beauties of this truth, and he begins to just spread it out like a feast before us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I saw a man showing Israel now, and there don't seem to be many green pastures in Israel. Kind of a dry, arid place. But I'm sure that whatever this good shepherd was that was being depicted here, he led them into a place where there was green pastures. I've often thought about the green pastures of God, and not that it's my own, I came up with this commentary. I think about this because other men have testified that when they think about the green pastures, they think about the Word of God. The beauty of the fresh green grass, and that word can be compared because it is always fresh and always new. Do you find consolation in the Word of God? I find great consolation. And I kept on going not only through the 23rd, but I was going after the 27th. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should rise up against me, yet will I not be afraid. I will trust God. God has given me so much beauty as I've read the scriptures, but he leadeth me. He leadeth me and maketh me lie down in green pastures, both to lie down and feast on the word of God. Think about that, that because the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want, now he's given you the very word of God. And there you can feast on that like a sheep does upon a green pasture. It's the Word of God that lives and moves and breathes in you. It's the beauty of the Word of God, fresh and green, that fills us with, with life and nutrition. Oh, to feast upon the Word. When you begin to grasp the truth that feasting on the Word of God is the only way to live, to live with the beauty of Christ in your heart and feast on the Word that He has given for you. Oh, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. And then it says, He leads me beside still waters. Anybody ever have a troubled, turmoil life out there, or a day where it just seems everything is raging? Christ just brings you into it. Come, I think when John the Baptist was beheaded, Christ took them apart into a quiet place, into a place of rest, and there they rested from the turmoil and thought of John the Baptist being beheaded. And God brings you in, and not only that you lie down in green pastures, but He leads you beside the still waters. The still waters that flow. The Word flows like still waters. The Spirit of God that flows in your heart refreshes and renews and energizes you and gives you life. And that is what He does for those that He loves, because He is the good shepherd and you are the sheep of His pasture. He leads you beside still waters. Bible says, as the hart panteth for the water brook, so my heart panteth for you, my Lord and my God. And doesn't your heart pant to know Christ more and more in your life? And I long for a deeper relationship with Him. But He has led me to a place where I can find Him as I meditate upon the things of the Lord and the green pastures He leads me to, and the still water that He leads me beside and we drink from. The Bible said, Thou shalt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on Thee, for he trusteth in Thee. Perfect peace is what God brings to you. He brings you along the still waters. He quiets your soul by saying, I am with you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you beside still waters. Oh, thank God for the times that we can rest in the Lord. It just seems that day to day there is turmoil that rises from one place, and no sooner does it settle down there than it rises from another place, the family, the government, the whatever you're doing. It just seems that things are always rising and rising up in your life that would cause you turmoil. But when you begin to wait on the Lord, when you begin to lie down in the green pastures, when you begin to drink from the still waters, the pure living water of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, your heart and your soul is settled, and things begin to have perspective, because you see that you are viewing them through the prism of the glory of God, and you know that He will work it to your good. How many believe that scripture? God works all things together for good for them that love the Lord, to them that are the called unto His purpose, and you are the called to His purpose. I thank God for that. And in the midst of leading me beside still waters, He restores my soul. Maybe David was talking about this when he had fallen with Bathsheba or murdered Uriah. Is there something in your life maybe that you have done a heinous sin and it seems that you can never get away from the memory of that or the guilt of that or the shame of that? I am telling you that Christ restores your soul. As you come to Him and you lay down your sin before Him, He restores your soul. He fills you with living water, and He restores your soul. He'll call you away from the worst sin of your life and call you into His presence. He forgives you by the blood that He has shed on the cross to prove that's how much He loved you. What a shepherd. What a shepherd we have of our souls. That He leads me beside still waters, and in that restores my soul. Many a day, I would imagine the saints grow weary, we the saints, of well-doing. But in the midst of the trial and the challenge of your life, God is present with you. He restores your soul. He gives you hope for tomorrow. He gives you strength for the day. He walks you through the most difficult trial of your life as you rest in Him. I've often wondered how he presents himself in this restoration, and it is this times of refreshing that he pours into my soul that I've seen. And I will tell you this, it seems that some of the most difficult things I have gone through, that is where Christ has seemed the most present. The most difficult things I've had to face in my life, which are not phenomenal, but I've had my own bit of difficulties and challenges, God has been with me. And he has poured himself into me when I've seen that there is no other hope, no other sucker to come along, no other one to come beside me. God has been there even more so. And he has shined like a light in my life. And I thank God for that. Even though the hosts of hell assail me, God has promised that he will never, never fail me. He's the good shepherd of my soul. He is the protector. It is God that protects me and brings me through difficult times. Oh, saint and sinner, don't wallow in the failure of your life, but let the Lord restore and renew your walk as you trust in him with all your heart. Rest in him. Remain in perfect peace in him. He will restore your soul, for he loves you and has compassion on you. And when I think about a shepherd, I think about even a good shepherd that would lay down his life for the sheep. He could only do this once, but Christ ever liveth to make intercession for me. He is ever there with every failure I have, with everything that goes through our lives. He is there not just for me, but for each one that trust in him. He is the good shepherd of all the sheep, and I thank God that he is that. The Bible said he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He doesn't lead me into sin. He doesn't lead me into temptation. God doesn't lead you into sin and temptation. He leads you out of it. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And that's what he does. He is ever there leading you out of whatever sin would so easily beset you. Christ is there to lead you away from that and lead you into his presence. Thank God that we have a shepherd that is not leading us into a dangerous place, but goes before us and makes the way so that he can find a good path for us. Jesus leads us in the paths of life. He leads us into holiness. He leads us into a walk of righteous living. Jesus leads us all the way, earnestly, tenderly. Jesus is calling you to come into a path of righteousness. The path is clear before us, I believe. And we walk in the light of his presence as we trust in God. All those good things that begin and we can trust in, there do come times in our lives where it seems the weight of the world or the weight of sin or the weight of Satan coming against us weighs so heavily upon us that we can't even seem to see which way to go. And so the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've always loved the book Pilgrim's Progress, and some of you have read that, and if you haven't, I would encourage you. It's only about 400 years old, written by John Bunyan in the 1600s. But it gives such beautiful illustrations in there about the progress of the the pilgrim life of a Christian, and he names the main character Christian in this allegory. And Christian is, walking along through the valley of the shadow of death. He comes to this place and he encounters two that come out and said, "Don't go near that place. Don't go near the valley of the shadow of death, because it's filled with pits and with quagmire, and it will pull you under and you'll never be able to go. We were on our way to that heavenly place, but we've turned back, and I suggest you turn back too." There are many people that I've seen that when difficulties come and the very shadow of death seems to loom over them, that they lose heart. They're like the seed planted on the rock or in the thorny areas that believed for a while and then fell away, or the cares of the world choked them, or maybe the fears of the world choked them also. But Pilgrim, the Christian, wouldn't have it. He proceeded right in and walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And I've often think about when Christian was on that path. He came to a path where he saw lions in the very middle of the path. And maybe that's something you'll see, where it seems like there's things that are blocking your way to go on in faith. Your own self, Satan, and the world. And you want to go through, but there are lions in the path. There's a lion outside. I can't go outside. The voice said, stay on that straight and narrow path and begin to walk. And you begin to walk, and you walk right towards where those lions are. And the closer you get, you see that the lions are standing on either side of this path, but chained with two mighty chains. And the man of faith walks right down the straight and narrow path and is never touched by the lions. I am telling you, never turn back from the things that God is calling you through. He will walk you right through the very mouths of the lions. I often thought in the opera they say, crede lupo, in the mouth of the wolf, and then they say, de bocca lupo, out of the mouth of the wolf. And I've often thought about that when I read that passage. Into the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the lion, we walk straight through because Christ is with us. Nothing can harm us. Trust Jesus Christ with all your heart. That good shepherd would never lead you to destruction. When Christian walked through, he saw there where there was a quagmire on this side and a deep pit on that side. And a very narrow path, but he stayed on that narrow path. And he walked right through and was rejoicing that he had passed through the valley of the shadow of death. For me, I see this valley filled with days of gloom or apprehension. Days maybe when we have failed in certain things, and days when we haven't been all that we wanted to be. And now the shadow of death seems to loom over us. It's not so much this is death itself, but the very fear of it, or the fear that death may come in the midst of this. And so we're not sure what to do. And I wonder, in your life, have you been through times in your life where it seems like the shadow of death is upon you, and that you don't know which way to turn or what to do? I'm telling you, walk straight to the Lord. Trust in God. And he'll bring you through that path. No friend seemed to appear alongside to help you out. No person seems to call you and beckon to you. And so you have to walk that path alone. There's a beautiful song written by Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And he says in one portion in that, and I've quoted this different times, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever." There comes a time when you can't even look to man because they're not even going to help you. But that is when you're in your best place, because you have no one to trust but Jesus Christ. And you can be assured that he'll bring you through. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's the shepherd we serve. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and all the evil and all the devastation that it presents, and after I am almost crushed by that," he says in the midst of this, "I will fear no evil." I will fear no evil. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Christ is with you of a truth. You need not fear, for God will not let anything happen to you that he will not walk you through it. There is nothing that can happen to you that God won't walk you through and protect you as you go. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me." Thank God for that, that I have a Savior that accompanies me, not just through eternity, but through this life. And I thank God for that. I thank God that Christian walks through those two lions. It gives me confidence to know that I will also. mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. And that name above all names is the name that we should use at all times. Just say it out. Jesus. He's the one that walks through. Jesus is the good shepherd of your soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the death, that valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I've often looked at that, and we have them often in our Christmas plays where the shepherd's crook goes up the little loop. I've seen some people talk about that if the sheep was to fall down, he'd loop that loop around him and lift him out of there. I heard another man say that when a sheep starts to run off or gets unruly, they'll just slip that hook under his feet and trip him up a bit. But whatever that is, it is a rod and a staff. Maybe the rod is the same as the staff. I'm not even quite sure on that. But I often think about the shepherd's crook, that he helps them, he directs them with it, maybe he guides them. I believe he chastens them with it at times. The Bible said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That means to correct. Does anybody welcome the correction of God Almighty? You know why I welcome it? Because it said, he whom he chasteneth is the very one that he loves. It says that both in Hebrews and in Proverbs, that he chastens the one whom he loved. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, the Bible said. Even as a father doth his son in whom he delights. And that's the Lord that would correct us. And if it takes a rod of correction or a staff of direction, whatever it may be, I want to be corrected by the Lord that I might walk in his way. Because he's the good shepherd. He doesn't beat me out of malice or in vain. He corrects me with a tender heart. I've often thought about that when people talk about the judgment of God coming and the devastation of God. And I don't want to say it is modified by this, but certainly it is gauged by this, that the judgment of God and the correction of God comes through along with his mercy and with his grace and with his love. Loving correction. Merciful correction. Gracious chastisement is all that God will ever bring. He is not beating you down to destroy you. God is not out to destroy anyone here. He would only seek and save that which is lost, correct you that you might not stray, bring you into the path of righteousness, guide you in the way that you should go. That is the shepherd of your soul. If this doesn't excite you and energize you and lift you up, as you face the world, the flesh, and the devil, it lifts me up. It encourages me to know that I have one so gracious as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to direct me and keep me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Who are my enemies? Why, myself and Satan and the world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. My old corrupt nature will try to drag me down and make me compromise the faith that Jesus Christ has placed within me. The world would spread out an array that I might choose that rather than Christ. Satan himself would whisper in your ear to turn away from the things of God and to turn to the things that he is offering you. And he did all these things with Christ who was tempted in the mountain. But as we come to this communion table today, let us reflect on the bounty that has been prepared. Thou preparest the table before me. What is the table that has been prepared before me? Why, it's the very communion and the very fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm able to commune and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Not just at this table, but every day. I'm able to stand and worship Him and pray to Him and be blessed by Him and walk with Him. As we come to this communion table, we rejoice that He has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I thank God for that, that He prepares that table before me. His presence with me. He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other hast ever known. What a beautiful truth to know that we have a Savior like that. Fellas, I wasn't really getting you up to go to start the communion. I'm standing back there, but I got a couple more things to say before we do. The Bible says, thou anointest my head with oil. You know, I've often think, when we thought about oil last week, we thought about the high priesthood, and the thing that made, no matter what they were dressed in, no matter even though they had the Urim and the Thummim, and they had the breastplate and all the 12 stones there, and dressed in the garb, and all the mitre in their head, and all they had, it wasn't complete until they were anointed with oil. Christ has anointed us with the Holy Spirit. That is the reason and the way that you know that Christ is in you of a truth. Because if any man have not the Spirit of God, the Bible said, he is none of his. And it is the Holy Spirit that he has lavished upon you. He has anointed my head with oil. He has poured it upon me. And I love there's one psalm that says, and it is Hebrew, obviously, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ho means ho, how good, or behold how good it is. It is like the oil that was poured upon Aaron, and it ran down to his robes and down to his feet. The beauty of that Holy Spirit totally engulfing us inside and out. The Holy Spirit moving us and pouring upon us the beauty of His presence, our counselor, our guide, the one that would lead us into all truth. I have been anointed with that Holy Spirit of God that is with me forever and ever. Isn't that great to know? And I know I said this before, and we talked about this, that I am now supernaturally indwelt by a presence that is not my own. The Holy Spirit supernaturally indwells me. The presence of the Holy Spirit has come into my heart the day I received Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And with that anointing, my cup runneth over. And I've seen in some traditions and some cultures where they'll pour a glass of whatever and they let it overflow to show the bounty of what has been provided. God has overflowed my cup with His presence. And I thank God that I can rejoice in that. We may not have all the luxuries that the world has to offer, but we have all the beauties that heaven can give in the person of Christ Almighty. Isn't that wonderful? What more could we ask? Would you want your cup to run over with anything else other than Christ Almighty? I want my cup to run over with that. And I ask you this day, does your cup run over? Is your cup overflowing? Do you walk through life rejoicing that you are filled to the full with Christ Almighty, that He is bubbled up inside you and pours over with a bounty, with an abundance? And if that be the case, take that overflow and share with someone that doesn't know Christ. And it will become in them a well of living water springing up unto eternal life. Let that rise up within you, that beautiful cup that He prepares to run over for you. I'll tell you, so sadly, I see never some cups that are never full. Some of non-Christians, obviously, that can't be filled. But some Christians that walk around with an empty cup, a half-full cup, a cup that never seems to be bubbling with living water because they have refused to step into the grace of Christ and allow Him to overflow in their life, and all they can do is fill it with the misery of the world. I don't want the misery of the world. I don't want the luxuries of the world. I don't want what Satan has to offer in my own flesh. I want to bubble up with Christ Almighty. I want to rejoice in Him, just filling me and effervescing through my life. And when you have that, you're a person that has a witness, that has a testimony, that has something to say about the grace and in the love of Jesus Christ. Too many Christians are filled with complaints and with misery and with why hasn't God done this or why hasn't He done that or why did He let this happen to me or why is I'm going through this. But Christ is in you. Let Him bubble up inside you. Overflow with the joy of Christ. It'll make the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I remember back home in my hometown of years ago, we had glass bottles, glass gallon bottles that water came in, and even milk. I remember the milkman coming and putting out half gallons and quarts of milk outside, especially in the winter. It was so good because the top of the cream froze on there, and I went out with a spoon and ate it before anybody came. But we had back home in one of the mountains a spring of water, and they had worked this out, but they had put a pipe in there, and this water would shoot out no matter if there was a drought. This water was coming out from the side of this mountain, crystal clear and cold, and people would line up with their glass gallon jars, and they would fill up this. It was shooting out about 4 or 5 feet, and they'd fill up these glass jars and take that home. That was, you know, we didn't have to pay for water then. Now you buy these plastic bottles. Who knows where they get that water? But meanwhile, this was water coming from a spring that never ran dry. And I equated that in my life as I thought about the spring of living water in Christ that constantly flowed out. And I'm telling you, there was something to the taste of this water that was uniquely different. I don't know what it was, but it was delicious. It had a taste for some reason. It tasted delicious. And they would go up there and get this water, and we went up and we would put our mouths right at this thing and get that water. Well, I'm telling you, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you have found the spring of living water, you're never going to want for water again other than that living water that Christ presents. Your cup will overflow. Your cup will be filled at all times, and that well will never run dry because He fills it with His own blessed presence. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of the cup, but the inside is filled with extortion." We as Christians don't want that. We don't want a cup filled with anything other than the Lord. And I'm telling you, begin to set your mind on filling your cup with Jesus Christ. Fill your cup with Him, with His grace, with His mercy. Thank you, Lord. He begins to come to the end. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." With all the truth that is contained in our Lord and all the things that He has done to bless you and to save you and to preserve you, let me tell you that you can be assured that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. What joy to know that. That I am one that is blessed to have Christ with me all my life. All my life, goodness and mercy shall follow me. For those that are constantly walking with a down countenance, lift up your heads, lift up your hearts, and know that Christ is with you. He's going to bring you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to fill your cup. It's going to overflow as you rest and you trust in the Lord. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." For how long? Forever. Forever. I often read this, but I have to read it again. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." I get a chill when I read this. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said unto them, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all my days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." May God bless you with the joy of the knowledge of the truth that he presents in this beautiful psalm and in all the word of God. God bless you. If the ushers would come forward, we will have our communion. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. And again, for those that have Jesus Christ in their heart, we welcome you to come and fellowship at this communion table. And know that it's not that I want to exclude anybody. I'm just saying that before you can really come and fellowship with the Lord, you have to ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Have your sins washed away. This isn't some ritual we're going through or some event without any significance. We are now participating and acknowledging that we have participated in the shed blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. We are affirming the fact that it is Christ who has died for our sins. As you come to this communion table, you're again affirming the fact that Christ died for your sins and that your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And by his stripes, you have been healed. Let everyone that is athirst come this day and receive of the water of life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we do approach this table this day in awe, in humility, in thanksgiving, in worship, glorifying our Savior for what he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord God, for that sacrifice that you made for all mankind and for all that have received you, Lord God. You gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe in your name. God, we children of God this day participate and celebrate the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. God bless you, fellas. God bless you, Richie. God bless you, John. Hallelujah. God bless you, Mike. Praise God. John, would you thank God for his broken body? Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Amen. But the
Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we this day hold in our hand an emblem of your broken body. How real it must have been to the disciples as they watched you die upon that cross. And they remembered, Lord, after your resurrection, that your body had been broken for them, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace laid upon you, and by your stripes we were healed, Lord God, healed from sin, all those things that would devastate us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that through your sacrifice we have life. Remember, Lord God, that on the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And so we remember with thanksgiving, Lord God, the sacrifice you have made, Lord God, in the beating and the spitting and the abuse and the thorns, the pierced side and the nail-pierced hands and feet, Lord God, the riven back, all that happened to you, Lord God, as you suffered for us. We thank you, Lord, that you were broken and spilled out for us, Lord God. So we partake, Lord God, of this emblem of your body in thanksgiving for what you have done. And we give you praise and honor in Christ's name. Let us partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, Ken. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Richie. God bless you, John. God bless you, Mike. Praise God. Can we thank God for his spilled blood?
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom, and this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
Hallelujah, Lord. God, to think that your blood has paid the ransom for my sin-sick soul. How vile, Lord God, and evil. That God could not even behold me until Christ came and spilled his blood. Oh, God, I thank you. But now, Lord God, we can stand in the presence of God Almighty, clothed in the righteous robe of Jesus Christ. Our sins washed whiter than snow, there set apart for a holy purpose forever and ever, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I give you glory this day for the sacrifice you made, Lord God. And as you said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and you have proved that in laying down your life for us. We give you glory this day, Lord God. From the depths of our heart, we thank you, Lord God. We can't conceive, Lord, of what you went through as you cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hath you forsaken me? But the answer is so that sin could be atoned for, so that the sins of all mankind could be taken on the person of Christ, and he could bear them to the cross of Calvary. And there in the deepest sea of forgetfulness, never to be seen again, those that have received Christ will rise incorruptible. Lord God, we give you glory, Lord God, that the day will come when you descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. We give you glory, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the blood of the Lamb. We give you glory this day. And so, Lord God, on that night when you were betrayed, you took the cup and you said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. And as often as ye drink this, do this in remembrance of me. And so, Christ, we do remember you. We remember your suffering and death. We remember the price you paid. We remember, Lord God, also your promise that we are now made partakers of the divine nature of Christ. You being the head, we being the body. We also remember your promise, Lord God, that you are coming to receive us to yourself, that where you are, there we may be also, Lord God, and that we will reign with you as kings and priests forever and ever. We remember those things, and we look forward with anticipation, excitement for the things that God has promised. We partake, Lord God, of this emblem of your spilled blood with praise and blessing and adoration this day. In Christ's name, amen. Let us partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
How deep the Father's love for us. sons to glory. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. And this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May you go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you this day. The joy of Christ be your strength, and the knowledge of his redemption ever ring in your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you.